Once the office had been used for the dispatcher to check in and send out truckloads of tobacco, but now it was a base of operations for the new leaders of the Sticky Horde. The pair had been living in Winston for many weeks now, and as the scarred human had predicted, the two had managed to align the Sticky population into more of a coherent fighting force than ever before, even raiding convoys for weapons. Any qualms about Norm's ancestry had been dismissed by his sheer ugliness and by the long-haired Bud's willingness to back his friend up to the table. Politics weren't a Sticky pastime. As long as they got to spend time burning and chilling, they were content to follow Norm's lead.
See, Bud, this is why Stickies are the joke of Deadlands. Well, you could be plotting to take over. You're too damn busy holding jack-off contests.
The Sticky laying on the floor stroking himself blinked at Norm, then slowly zipped up his pants and staggered to his feet, his arousal still evident and nearly tearing the weakened fabric.
Got someone for you to talk with. Show you.
Who is it?
Scavvy has information to sell.
Never heard tell of that. A man willing to red out his kind to a mutiny could be a trick, bud.
Perhaps he wants to live. Man wants to live, might do anything. You should know.
Norm's lidless eyes glared at the Sticky as he and Bud followed the Sticky to a corner room in the warehouse.
He should still know better.
What about you, Norm? How do you fit in?
Shut your hole, Bud, for I shut it for you.
The Sticky leading them opened up a beat-up wooden door so that the disfigured man could walk into the dimly lit room, where Alton Edrian was tied to a rickety kitchen chair. The man had been stripped naked, his long hair and beard the only covering on his entire body. A dirty gag was wadded into his mouth. The areas of exposed skin showed evidence of the loving touches laid upon him by his Sticky captors. Norm began walking around the terrified man in a slow, lazy circle.
Most of the problems I've ever had to deal with in Deathlands come from people trespassing. Idiots going where they don't belong. There's ways of making jack doing this. If you find them on your land or using your stuff, you charge them a fee. Make them pay. I used to get my joint sucked 2 or 3 times a week when I was a mercy running a toll road. You see, if they didn't have the jack, well, I made those going on through pay in different ways. You're over at the old hospital, my friend, round in the same area where some of my men disappeared a few days back. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that Stickies are not the most brilliant of the many noble creatures roaming Deathlands. And perhaps they got lost or ran off or even found a room and ended up locking themselves in. I don't know. All I have is the evidence in front of me. And that's you.
Norm reached down and cupped Adrian's chin with a hand covered in scars. His fingernails were long and sharp, jagged and uneven. He moved his hand up and ripped the gag out of his prisoner's mouth.
One of my friends says you have information to barter for your own miserable life.
Yeah.
What is that information?
I know what happened to those Stickies.
Norm's one bulging eye seemed to grow larger in the broken socket of his face. He leaned closer.
Oh, do you know?
They're chilled. All of them.
How?
They were chilled by a man named Ryan Cotter.
The utterance of the name had a most curious and unexpected effect on the scarred man standing before the helpless Alton Edrian. The mention of Cotter caused Norm to twist his once-burnt fingers into a bony fist and strike out, catching Adrian full in the mouth. The force from the surprise blow caused the chair to tip over on one side.
You stinking liar! No fucking way One Eye is here! No fucking way!
All of the control, all of the posing, all of the attempts to pass himself off as something more than man or muti had been erased the moment Ryan's name came into the picture. Norm was gone, and in his place was Johnson Lester, the cowardly sec man who had had the misfortune of encountering Ryan twice before. Lester, who blamed Ryan for the downfall of Willieville and for his own miserable luck in being forced to work the wheel and being caught when the ville was blown apart. Lester, who'd been saved by a sticky and traveled to Winston in hopes of staking his own claim to power. Lester, who was now undeniably insane. Adrian turned panic-stricken eyes at his captors, blood pouring from his split lip.
Sure, he's here. Ryan Connor, or One Eye, with the eye patch, and J.V. Dix, and the albino, and the old fart they call Daka, and the woman with the red hair.
Muty! She's a muty bitch whore!
All of them killed those stickies. Now they're in freedom, working sick. Maul's been getting ripped by sticky attacks. Got them to help. Heard about that right before leaving freedom yesterday.
Adrian finally fell silent, his throat raw and aching. Lester had crawled back into whatever mental cubbyhole the scarred man kept his former persona tucked away in, and the much cooler Norm had come back out and was driving the wag.
You were correct, Mr. Adrian. Your information has proved most valuable.
Can I have my clothes?
Why? Of what use are they to you now?
Adrian's stomach turned to ice.
Need my clothes to leave? I'm leaving this hole and never coming back.
Why, you're right about one thing. I do indeed doubt you are ever coming back.
Norm smiled cruelly as he opened the door to the rest of the warehouse and waved in the two waiting stickies. The muties effortlessly lifted the scavenger and the chair he was bound to between them and followed Norm out of the door. Adrian thrashed in his bindings as his inner demons and fears came scuttling out, unleashed and gibbering as he was carried into the center of the cavernous tobacco warehouse and dropped painfully to the floor. The wooden chair splintered and broke, and he was free, his arms and legs tangled in strands of wire. He rolled in the dust, struggling in the dimly lit area to stand erect. How could his big score have gone so badly? He'd only wanted a second look at the cryo chambers for himself, and now he'd succeeded in chilling himself. He got to his feet and saw the circle of the stickies closing around him. Tears ran down his cheeks and into his beard to mix with the blood from his split lip.
Please! Please!
The smell of the blood from the injured human made the circle of stickies anxious. Norm stepped forward from the circle, carrying a small metal canister painted in deep green.
You know what's inside this container?
Two stickies hesitantly raised their hands, like obedient pupils in a classroom.
Not you, damn it! I was talking to our guest. Come now, you're a scabby. You've seen this before? Inform us. I take it back, boys. As bad as you stickies get, at least you don't shit yourself and start sniveling when your number is up.
Norm stepped up to Adrian and grabbed him by the hair, pulling hard, making the man crane his neck and fall back as he looked up into the horribly disfigured man's eyes, which seemed to be glowing with a malevolent evil. Adrian looked up and knew in his heart he was viewing the devil himself.
This, you whining sack of shit, is a container filled with black powder. As I'm sure you've heard, what with your thriving career and information exchange, that stickies have developed most unusual ways of using this substance for their own amusement. A cut here, a stab there, and fill the hole with powder. Or if one doesn't want to make a hole, one could use some of the other orifices of the human body. Eye sockets, ears, nose, mouth. A particular favorite is ramming a heaping helping of powder up a man's ass and lighting a fuse. Boom! Blows his cock clear across the room.
The gathered stickies began to excitedly jump and dance in place, waiting for the word. Norm turned to them to grin and wallow in the sensation of power, still keeping his grip on the scabby's hair.
If the powder disturbs you, we can try some other sticky game. Perhaps tie you down, spread eagle, and push thumbtacks in your eyes. Push straight pins under your fingernails, into your balls. Take a knife and cut you to pieces, a bit at a time. There are always alternatives.
Adrian snapped. He reached up, grabbing the scarred man's hand that gripped his hair. He grabbed the hand with both of his own and pulled with all of his fading strength. Norm fell flat on the wet concrete, dropping the powder and losing his hold on his prisoner's hair.
If I die, you're going with me!
Adrian rolled over on his captor and began to throttle him with both hands, squeezing as hard as he could, willing all of his own hate and fear into the man below him. His last desperate ploy never stood a chance. The stickies fell upon him from all sides, their terrible clinging hands adhering and lifting, tearing his body and flesh in all directions in a massive display of carnage. Bud helped Norm to his feet as the other stickies paraded the various body parts of Alton Adrian around the warehouse.
Tonight, Bud. We go tonight.
Not ready. We need time.
Cordor is in there laughing at me. We go tonight. I'm chilling him personally. We go tonight.
After 2 days of their assigned duties, everyone in Ryan's group was bored with the riches offered by Freedom Mall. Even with their newly enhanced positions as SecMen, there was nothing free in the way of entertainment. Sleeping, eating, relaxing, it all came with a price, and the price wasn't cheap. Still, there were distractions. Mildred, JB, and Doc wandered down a corridor on their time off.
Haven't been down in this part of the mall before. What's the map say?
JB took out a folded pocket guide to Freedom and consulted the layout.
Multiplex.
You mean movies?
Yeah, reckon so.
A theater. Splendid. Perhaps we can hope for a classic from days gone by? A brightly colored musical with the likes of Kelly or Esther? A moody film noir with Bogart or Cagney? Or even that femme fatale Barbara Stanwyck, leading poor baffled Fred McMurray to his own lust-caused doom?
Didn't know you gave a damn for movies, Doc. Thought you hated them.
Incorrect. False. Not true. What I hate, John Barrymore, is television. Puerile drivel to sell boxes of soap. But this is a movie palace. And for once, I shall view a motion picture at the scale the makers intended, instead of viewing them via a vid player on snow-enhanced tape.
I doubt that, Doc.
In front of the movie theater, there were slots for movie posters and announcements, but all hung empty or blank. A single tube-shaped box office could be spotted on a slight incline, and behind the office was the door into the concession stand and lobby. Very efficient and very bland.
Ooh, this is one of those concrete bunker affairs. Small screens, small seats, small portions at the concession stand. The only thing big about a mall cinema is the prices.
Small screen? Why on earth would a theater proprietor want to vex his patrons with a small screen?
Economics. Smaller the setup, the more screens you can cram into a space. Smaller seats mean more warm bodies. Why run one show when you can run six? Then sell six times the amount of overpriced concessions at the same time.
Disgraceful. I'd always been under the impression there was something romantic about the movies in their natural habitat.
There is. There's nothing like seeing a movie on a big screen.
I wouldn't know.
Me neither, Doc. Seen some in Vills on old 16mm projectors. Hard to see and hear.
Next show's at 9 o'clock. What time is it?
About 10 minutes to. We got the time and the extra mall creds to see a picture if you want. We don't go on sec patrol until we meet up with Ryan and the others at midnight.
I wonder if they have popcorn.
From my understanding, it wouldn't be a proper motion picture palace if it didn't.
The three companions approached the ticket booth and found a man sitting behind the glass with a place to speak through a small metal grid. He was dressed in a crushed velvet vest and matching bow tie. An employee tag identifying him as Boston hung from the breast pocket of his vest.
What movie's playing?
Oh, you'll love it, lady. Rippin' good horror show. Zombies come back from the dead to feast on the human flesh of the living. Great gore with some hilarious comedy. Slapstick's what I've heard it called. Sells